بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، we are looking at the lessons from the seerah which inshallah al-musta'an, if we implement in our lives, then we can look forward to the kind of society and the kind of life that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to create, and which the people enjoyed as long as they lived by those principles. And yesterday we started on the topic of equality in society, equality on the basis of only one thing, which is that we are all created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that equality in terms of the Muslims also on the basis of our brotherhood that Rasulullah created, which we know as the Ummah. I spoke about one aspect of inequality as it is practiced. Today we look at another one, which is perhaps even more, which is the inequality and the discrimination that is practiced based on gender, which is the way women are exploited and the way women are discriminated against. It's a very strange thing that in other religions, discrimination against women is part of the religion. There are laws where the religion itself affirms and confirms discrimination against women. This is what the Western world rebelled against when it came to Christianity, because the laws of Christianity concerning women were highly discriminatory, and so the Western world threw out religion itself. So today there is a secular law where men and women are equal. Because in Christian law, for example, when a woman got married, her entire property became the property of the husband, in which he had absolute authority, he could do whatever he wanted with it. Obviously, this was, highly... It was very discriminatory. It was very unjust, and this was part of the religion. This was mandated by law, and that's why the Western world rebelled and chucked it out. There are many such things. I don't want to go into a detail with that because that's not our purpose here. In Islam, on the other hand, the laws that Islam created, the laws that Rasulullah ﷺ brought concerning women, were not only the most forward-looking, were not only the most egalitarian, they were not only the most progressive laws for the time. They are the most progressive laws even to this day, 1400 years later. And once again, I don't have to go into a list of all there, we know all those. The point is, despite that, it is Muslim men in Muslim societies who do not give women the rights that Allah gave them. And for this, may Allah forgive us, we will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the issue of inheritance, for example, of girls. I'm not talking about the issue of the male gets two parts and the woman gets one part. I'm talking about the fact that the woman gets nothing. The men swallow the part of the brothers swallow the inheritance of the sisters. Take the issue of in this country and in this part of the world, take the issue of dowry. Islam made it the opposite. We adopted the Hindu custom and we turned it upside down. In Islam, the man gives the mahar to the woman. The woman receives, she does not give anything. The man pays for the wedding party, meaning the walima. The woman does not do anything. She goes as a guest, her father goes as a guest. We turned it upside down. We took the Hindu custom of dowry, and Muslim men will not marry unless they are paid. They make demands. And we know all of this. I don't want to make a list of... there's no point in repeating what we already know. Who brought this evil into into Islam? We. And there are many more. One of the classic ones, which is coming down the road, is the issue of permitting women to pray in the masajid. Islamically, it is not an issue. Islamically, it's a non-issue. There is no issue. Women are not prohibited from praying in masajid. On the contrary, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a specific instruction, he gave an order to say, do not prevent the female slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Amat Allah, from praying in the masajid. Very clear. There are books on this, there are all kinds of things. But we have decided that we don't want to follow the sunnah and we prevent women from praying in masajid. We are reaching a situation in this country where, may Allah prove me wrong, you are going to see a state when the Supreme Court will order that women, Muslim women, must pray in masajid, and women will come with police escort and they will pray in your masjid by force, and you will not be able to prevent it. And believe me, at that time, the kind of women who will come with police escort are not the kind of women that you want in your masjid. Obviously, the sensible thing to do is implement the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Set aside a section for women like we have in this masjid. Somebody wants to come, welcome. You don't want to come, we don't force you. No problem. It's a non-issue. There is no issue. But we have... This is the issue. The problem is that if we are going to blindly follow whatever has been happening, then we are going to be in a problem. We must follow the Kitab of Allah and we must follow the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody in the world can have any quarrel with this statement of mine. I'm not talking about mazhab, I'm not talking about maslak, I'm not talking about tradition, I'm not talking about this one and that one. I am saying follow the Kitab of Allah and follow the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If somebody has a problem with that, then they have a problem with Allah and His Nabi, that's not my problem. When there are clear instructions as far as women are concerned, and if Muslim men are not willing to implement them in our lives, then we are not only going to create more and more fitan in ourselves, in our society, but we are also answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sure all of you know that there are masjids, there are masjids in the UK, in the US, in India as well, which are purely for women. Women have got together and they have set up a masjid which is populated only by women. There is a woman imam, there is a woman muazzin. Juma is led by a woman. I was in a, I was sitting in a class of one of my dear friends and teachers in the UK, and this question was asked. There were some ladies there. And one woman came and asked the Sheikh this question to say, we want to create a masjid only for women. Is this permissible in Islam? So he saw me sitting there. He said, Yavar Sahib will answer this question. So I said, she's asking you, why are you bouncing the ball to me? He said, no, aap boliye. So I asked her, why do you want to establish a masjid for women? She said, because men do not allow us to come into a woman's masjid. So we want to establish a masjid only for women. So I told her, then what is the difference between you and those men? So she said, what do you mean? I said, what is the difference between you and those men? Those men don't allow women. You want a masjid in which you will not allow men. So what is the difference? I said, you are doing exactly the same thing which you are pointing out and saying, this is wrong. And then I told her that, first of all, that is wrong. Second thing I said, give me a dalil for this. Right? Before you ask me permission, I have nobody to permit or not to permit. It's not my religion. Right? Give me a dalil. Where do we find a women-only masjid right from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to this day? Where do you find this? There is no dalil. I said, if there was to be a women-only masjid, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have established it. There was no shortage of ulama among the women, alimat. Umm Darda radiallahu anha used to give dars of hadith sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, the ulama conclusively and collectively say that 25% of this religion is thanks to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. There is not a book of fatwa in the world which does not have the rulings of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Did she lead Jummah? Did she lead a Salah? Did she do Imamat? I mean, if there was somebody to... And Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she went to war. So it's not as if she was one, you know, quiet woman sitting together, sitting inside one ghurfa somewhere, wearing... She was a highly dominant, a highly, you know, a woman was a great leader. She was very dominant. She was very vocal. Nobody could have stopped her if she wanted to do something. She did not do it because this was not permitted by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On the other hand, take somebody like Umar Ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He, even though he did not like his wife going to the masjid, she asked him directly. She said, "Are you forbidding me from going to the masjid?" Somebody told her. They said, "Look, why do you go? Your husband does not like you to go to the masjid in the night, especially, you know, going by yourself." She said, "I will ask him." She asked him, "Do you forbid me to go to the masjid? Because somebody told me that you don't like me going to the masjid." He said, "I don't like you going to the masjid because of, you know, danger, whatnot." He said, "But how can I forbid what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted?" So she was in the masjid when Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu salatul fajr, he was leading salah, and when he was stabbed, his wife was praying behind him radiallahu anhu. So we have these two extremes. But my submission is, how did this woman's only mosque come into creation, come into being? Because we don't want the women to do what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted them to do. So then they go and do something which nobody permitted. So end of the day, we have to accept the blame for this, because if you are going to prevent people from doing things which are legal, then they will do things which are illegal. Now we say, usual standard, oh no, there is a fitna. If you bring women into, there will be a fitna. How come there is no fitna in the market? How come you don't find a fatwa to say women should not go to the market? How is there no fitna in the universities and colleges? How is there no fitna in the road? Fitna is a different issue. Fitna is an issue of how the woman or the man conducts themselves in the public space, which is something that you should deal with in tarbiyah of your children and your homes. Where is the question of fitna? And men don't create fitna? Every single fitna in the religion is the creation of a man. Every single thing, including all the tafriqat. Who created Qadianism? Women? Who said anything? Where is the question of fitna coming from? Women. The source of fitna is men. It's not a question of fitna. The issue is, Allah knows what is right. Allah's Nabi knows what is right. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi created for us, in that only there is khair. If we do that, then we create a system which will be the most progressive, the most non-discriminatory system in the world, and nobody can point a finger at you. Today people point fingers, not because the system is bad, but because we don't implement the system. Take the case of triple talaq. What did the Supreme Court say? The Supreme Court judge, who's a Hindu, he said, "You must implement what is in your Quran." How shameful is that? You want a Hindu to tell you to implement what's in the Quran? That is what they are going to say with regard to the ruling, if and when it comes. Already the case has been registered and taken in the Kerala High Court. If we are not going to follow the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we are not going to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, then Allah will force us to do it at the hands of people who are not even Muslim. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sense and understanding, then to change our ways so that the beauty of this religion will be visible to us and will be visible to the whole world, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.